You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold. Don't you know you are my heartache?
Welcome to my sexy podcast. That's a bang. You start with a bang and then you last. That's one lesson, one gem I'll give to you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here with my dear, dear angel of a friend. She's a wonderful species of human specimen. Species of human specimen is, that's probably the main credit that you always get brought up to.
Almost certainly.
She is a species of human specimen. She's also got a website called douchechills.com. She's got an album that just came out. It just dropped. It's called Quality Notions. It's hilarious. I have listened to it. I love it. You will love it.
Yes.
Buy it. Her book, she's got a book coming out. She's a success, and she's here right now. Put your ears together for Jacqueline Novak.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah,
hello.
I started off real with that voice, and then I settle right into a cool girl, so don't worry.
No, that's cool. I wasn't uncomfortable with it. I was going to modulate myself.
Were you?
Yeah, I was going to be tiny.
If we talk like really earnestly but in that voice of like, what was your childhood like?
No, you really do have a gift. You know, for the, what's like the colloquial term for radio? Like, you know, like the silver screen. What is it like for like the golden ear or something like that?
Colloquial means from down home?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm just happy I learned that.
Well, colloquial, it's interesting because, you know, you could use a new word for colloquial because it's actually hard to say itself.
Are you colloquial?
You know, I struggle to say the word, but I do, you know, I throw a few colloquials around.
You're from
around.
Like a different time probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm constantly listening to audio regression MP3s trying to go to past lives, like literally nightly.
What do you mean? Audio regression MP3s?
Yeah, like hypnosis regression, where sometimes they regress people to their childhood or whatever. Well, like this guy.
You are the most educational guest I've had in the first 30 seconds. All the rest have been dum-dums. But, okay, so.
So you know how they do that and they'll regress you to your childhood? That's a thing.
I didn't know.
Okay, so they do that like to work issues out. They're like, go back to the time when you learned to hate yourself or whatever. Okay.
And
they're
like, I'm there.
And they're like, you know, give her a hug. Give little Sabrina a hug or whatever. Okay?
And they're like, I don't even want to do meth anymore. I'm done with meth.
Okay. And it's been very effective.
Give her a, okay.
Or stuff like that. That's sort of an inner child.
Do you want to
releasing.
Do that together right now?
You mean lead? You want me to lead you?
Yeah. Lead me.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, let me warn you though, because we might want to take you. I want to warn you about what can happen.
You really think you're going to bring me into it?
I mean, I'm pretty experienced.
You can shit your pants, but no one can hear that.
I mean, but the thing that happened, like this guy, Brian L. Weiss, okay, who wrote this book, Many, Many Lives, Many Masters. And I looked at like the engineer, like somebody around here knows. And he was like this, you know, he didn't believe in past lives or anything like that. He was just like a shrink, and he did do regression therapy with these people, and he regressed someone to you know, her childhood, and then
she got stuck.
And then she went back further.
No.
To birth, then womb, and then she went even further.
What?
Into the nether area, okay, between lives. And he's like, he just kept going, because he's like, what is this?
What?
And then the next thing she knows, okay, she's like, he's like, go back further, okay, and she's like, you know, my feet are dirty. Okay.
No.
Like, I'm in the sand.
No,
like,
okay. No. I mean, this, I feel like this is like something I would do, but I would be that girl just to like make the papers.
Well, like, you know, in India, listed in papers is very common.
What do you mean?
In India, they list like, you know, in this town, this little boy, like they list it like classifieds almost, like a ton of them.
The regression thing?
Of kids with past life memories, and they hook them up with their past lives because it's so like they believe it
like
so deeply there. It's so normal that people, and you know, you say to your kid, do you remember your past life? And
okay,
they go,
so then
yes.
So this is in your world, this does exist though.
Yes. Now it does. Okay. Now It's risky for me to just say that because people sort of think that means certain things about what I believe or
I'm
or
automatically
whatever.
Feel like you're homophobic at this point. Clearly. I mean, how far back are you going, Jacqueline?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, first of all, the soul flies through many genders.
Oh, my God.
And many bodies. Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay. So then everybody's lived. So it's the soul. Once I die, my soul goes to a baby. That makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
It'd be really weird if it's just like there some are 19-year-old kid that's like, whoa, now I'm a Pakistani.
Well, you know,
lesbian.
They do talk about that. That happens occasionally.
It does happen. The soul just
comes, slips in.
Ooh, so that's when you're like, when you've got a friend that's like on a shit bad tear.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, well, that's,
yeah, that's
Amy
Winehouse. I think that's very rare.
Amy Winehouse says,
when did she
done it again?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I see what you're saying. You go, like, Amy Winehouse
like
is back.
Is back. In
she didn't
my want friend. To
wait in a baby.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one guy claims, okay, that he, because there's a quality that makes you, you know, forget in theory. Okay, you forget the previous life.
Yes.
And sometimes you like little kids. There's these amazing stories about these little kids who literally fully remember their lives with all the details, okay, and they're like screaming to be brought back to their wife.
No.
Yes. Okay. They're like, my wife needs me, and I have to like avenge, you know, Rodrigo the killer, okay, who killed me.
What?
And they're like, take me to like.
How old are the kids?
It varies.
Okay. I need to see a video of the kids because if I see a video of a kid, I can tell.
No, yeah. I'll give you some books.
A lot of mental illness is just people that are trapped, like struggling with the soul thing with the.
Well, I mean, that's one of the. That's certainly like that's why the past life stuff and the past life regression is like a popular thing in kind of new age healing, mm-hmm. Because the idea is that you go back and just by kind of experiencing something, making it conscious, you have some kind of healing. Okay, so it's like people with you hear this stuff. People, I mean, I again, I'm not gonna keep apologizing for how outrageous it sounds. I'm just gonna give you the info.
I could use another apology.
All right, like there's definitely no time for me to explain like the elaborate things that like
basically you're way smarter than I
oh my
ever
god
thought. I knew you were like, smart, but you're like a person that knows, because this is not what her book is even about.
No it's not. I mean,
what is your book about?
It's about depression. It's a guide to depression that sort of just keeps you company when you're depressed. It's for you to read between self-help books when you're just not going to try to feel better, just when you're just, you know, whatever that is for you. It's kind of like, you're here, I'll keep you company, it's fine.
It's a warm blanket.
Yeah, it's a warm blanket. And there's like a little, draw a little bed in there, like that you could put your thumb on.
Yeah.
You know, and just be like, it's all right. Yes. You could just put your thumb in this little bed and like, stay here and it's fine, you're fine. And
I feel
it's
like
supposed to be funny.
Depression
so.
is, we can safely say everybody suffers from whatever variation of depression.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I got notes back from the editor.
Yeah.
And, which was horrifying just because it's intense.
Were they a lot? Or, I mean, I guess it must
it's
be,
just,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah.
It's Jacqueline's first book. It's her breakout novella.
Yes. And, but she was saying, like, she wanted to make sure that I keep, you know, the readership broad enough that I make sure to address people with different levels of depression, so that, because she was like saying that, you know, it can't just be aimed at people who like can't move, you know what I mean? Because they're not going to get out to the bookstores, you know, and I'm like, they'll buy the high books.
There's Amazon,
and, you know, and she was like, yeah, and she, you know, and she was sort of saying,
we want you to target a few more people that move.
Yes. So I was like, all right, you know, and that's
is
fair.
That because that's. Is that in the most extreme? I mean, I guess, yeah. If anyone who's depressed, you don't want to get out of bed. Did you think about writing this book because, like, what's your personal relationship with depression?
Depression is my lover.
Lift the things up.
my lover and my teacher. Just kidding.
Depression's my lover and my teacher.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've like always struggled with depression. I hate saying that because it's one of these phrases that
because
it's like the only phrase. Like, there's no other, like, you know,
suffers
and struggles.
But like, it should be more casual. Like, I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Because everybody does.
Yeah.
It paints, well, it is, I guess it's a negative thing. It's like, why why does depression have to be seen so negatively?
No, right, right. I mean,
I want to kind of kill myself. Yeah.
I actually really wanted to write back to the editor because my friend who's a writer was warning me that I would go through the 5 stages of grief upon getting the notes, and that would be, and I was like, no, I want her to push me. I'm not going to mind notes. Like, I really want it to be the best book it can be. Uh-huh. And then I got them and like went through, like, denial, anger.
Okay. Really?
And then I was fantasizing about writing back to the editor and saying, you know, if the goal of your notes was to launch me into a fresh depression, to inspire new, you know, new sections in this book, you have succeeded. Never mind. I choose death. And then just a little blood on the page. Like, these are some of my fantasies.
Well, okay. So then that is sort of that. That's your friend told you, and that's the way it goes, is that
it
you write a book.
Happened.
The editor does a big old poo-poo?
Yeah, I mean, and it's they're, like, constructive, and I basically agree with all the notes. You know, it's kind
of
like...
Do you have to do, like, how much is keep, and then how much do you have to...
It's mostly kind of reshuffling and getting things... Like, she said it was mostly moving things around so that it was sort of balanced. You know, she was saying, you know, it's not a ton of new writing, but it's just hard, you know?
I'm still working on my sample chapter. Jacqueline and I have the same... I'm looking at the other chair as the audience.
Yeah.
Well, Sally, just to update you.
When are we going to let Sally talk?
Sally never talks. Sally keeps quiet. Sally keeps quiet or no more kibble for Sally. Sally is a bald 14-year-old with the soul of Amy Winehouse. That we keep in the studio, just to make eye contact with someone. You know, that's why this show is just so personal.
The Sally gaze, you know, just to have a Sally, gaze upon you.
One of her eyes sort of droops down, but the other one penetrates your soul.
Actually, I have a theory about that. Remind me later.
Oh my God.
About single eye contact.
Single eye contact?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you, no,
all right, I'll just tell you now, okay? I've tried to do it as a joke, but sometimes it just is met with double eye contact stares, okay? But it's like... I have this thing about single eye contact where I find it infinitely more uncomfortable, okay, than two eyes, okay? Like, if you happen to pass someone in, like a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
And like, okay, or like
you're there's
in a crowd,
the mystery of the hidden face.
And it's, yeah, and even if you could, like, even if just one eye was obscured.
I think this is a fact and not a theory,
okay?
Jacqueline.
No, but I'm going to tell you what's so horrifying, okay?
Okay.
My spiritual theory, okay? Is that the force of the soul is flying through one eye. It's like a hose. You know, that it's supposed to come out of two things, and then you close off one. It's like,
yes,
you know what I mean? So it's like the single eye, like, it's so awkward and hard to maintain, like, for more than a second, because it's like my stomach got nervous just doing
really?
It with you right now, like, because it's like so penetrative. Hence the terror of genitals, the vaginal eye. The penile eye.
Okay.
I made that last part up. The other stuff is all well researched in my own mind.
No, that makes sense. I like that. The hose, the squishy hose. It's the squishy hose theory.
Yeah.
Squishy hose one eye.
It pinching
I've
off.
I've heard of being batted around at the academy.
Ew, I just said pinching off.
Pinching
and
off?
That's the thing people talk about with shitting. Sorry. Is this podcast?
No, this podcast is
pinching off a loaf.
It goes
something?
Directly to a Christian school. That's where we found Sally, actually. It's a group of 14-year-olds.
This is a scholarship, a silent scholarship.
It's a silent scholarship, yes.
She gets to sit silently.
Well, she's chained.
Well, she's in a seated position.
We're actually pitching American Horror Story. She, like, they're considering
Sally?
The 7th season to just be called Sally. And it's more of like a vlog. It's when TV gets really webby.
That's actually
speaking of webs,
terrifying.
You should see her feet. I mean, you can. We didn't get her shoes.
You should and you can. Sally is a terrifying
shut
name.
Shut up, Sally.
Just alone? Just Sally?
Just Sally? Yeah.
Just Sally.
Sally, say it with one eye. Sally. Okay, wait. The writing thing, and then so I sent the sample chapter to our agent Anthony, and then there's so much because I think I'm a good writer.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, this is good. And then, but his notes make sense. It's just like a different. Writing a book is different, and so many of his notes are like, okay, I'm not here, so bring me to this place.
Right, right.
You're getting kind of personal.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, well, because, I mean, definitely in stand-up, I think, and the editor was saying that,
it's kind of about economizing.
Exactly. And also, cutting out, you almost, cut out any sort of details that bring you into the world unless they are you're
crucial to the
punchline. Yeah. And what's funny. So you're not the thing about single eye contact. Okay. Okay. Whatever. And then you're I thought about this one day as I was sitting in a cafe and the leaves were rustling.
Yes.
And the pink dawn, whatever.
Can you just send me some room descriptions?
Yeah.
Because I'll just cut and paste them.
Oh, my God.
Both of our books have the exact same. And as I walked into the room, the leaves were rustling.
Oh,
and the wallpaper was dense, dank density, pinching off into my mind. Is that something? I think that I said.
I think you did.
I'm going to
write that down. Send that right to Anthony.
Perfect. Yeah, I should just open up Surrey. And then look around. That's probably what you should do. Open Surrey up.
Wait.
Get her. Not Sally.
What do you mean by Surrey?
Surrey from the phone, the iPhone.
Oh, Siri.
Siri. So I was brought up by two immigrants, two accents.
Surrey Cruz. Because that's
no. I just say things differently. I say almond.
Oh my God. I just wanted to make sure, and it was sort of because. I guess I was confused because Anthony did represent a book called Surrey's Burn Book.
It's about Tom Cruise's child. Step one, kidnap child.
And it's like this book based on a Tumblr about Surrey Cruise, a burn book. I don't even really know what it means, but it's Surrey Cruise giving fashion advice and shitting on other celebrity children and stuff like that. It's
that's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're I opened Surrey. I don't know. I should have known. But I thought I should call it out, just because you got to call out what's happening.
I love drama on this podcast. And that was drama number one. You called me out. I'm crying. I'm done crying.
Sally's looking more relaxed now that you're in a reduced
She's sort of grimacing. You can't tell because her mouth is wired completely tightly shut.
Almond.
Almond. I also used to say supervisor for supervisor.
Wait.
Because I just had this mishmash. I had a Pakistani dad. I had this Swiss mom. I mean, I've just got
That's
this
hilarious.
Eclectically rich past. I had this dank, dark, dense wallpaper with rustling leaves. I mean, my life was a movie.
My life was a movie.
That's why I'm done living it.
Well, I live literature. You know what I mean? I don't live a life. I live literature.
You definitely do.
Oh, yeah.
Some sort of textbooky period piece.
Most certainly.
Period piece. Go for it. Yeah, swing at that pinata. Period piece. Something period.
Swing at that pinata.
Can I tell you one thing that I clearly just set myself up to tell? Now that we're on the topic of periods. But did you know that when you bleed one child? That's one baby egg. That's just one egg. I thought that it was thousands. I was doing a joke. And I thought,
my God.
I thought I was and you just all my babies are falling out of me. And then someone came up to me after and they're like, you know, it's just one, right?
Oh, my God.
Isn't that tragic?
First of all,
that's fucking tragic.
More tragic than hundreds and thousands of them?
Then it's just a dime a dozen. It's just one.
No, you actually only have 102
this month.
For your life.
It's April. April's going to die this month because mama's not.
You mean April is her name?
I just named them all after the month now. March was delicious.
Oh, my. No, so it's, because it's one egg.
That's the noise I make when I get scared of my public appearance and persona and image.
It's one egg.
It's one egg.
And then a bunch of sperm. Because each time the man ejaculates, there's tons of sperm.
Wait, you have tons of sperm in you right now?
No. Oh, no, I'm not saying sperm comes out with a period. I'm saying maybe you're thinking you know,
yeah,
a million
because
eggs.
Every time the man ejaculates, it's tons of sperm. Okay,
it's like
I thought you were
seed.
Saying because straight women are loaded with sperm, and that your period is more like a twist swirl.
Yeah, it's like a strawberry and cream or something.
Strawberries and cream.
It's like one of those yogurt, delicious yogurt bars. I love those. Those yogurt and the.
I mean, there is something for everyone in this episode, I have to say.
I mean, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, it's interesting about the sperm thing because I've noticed there's a sort of prejudice where people talk about sperm like each one, like the sperm that then makes the bait, like that wins. They talk about that like I'll hear men talk about that like that is them, like but that's not a little human. The sperm is half.
What is
but everyone
the sperm?
Talks about it? It's just
it's half,
half
a thing.
The genetic,
it's like
genetic
half a yin
material.
Yang. Okay.
Yeah, it's like half like that. The sperm and the egg, you know, fertilize and become a zygote or whatever, and then like the zygote or something splits.
I feel
splits.
Like you're pretending to be. As stupid as me as you're explaining it, you're like, you know exactly the medical term, but you're like, you know, like, whatever, there's the zygote, and whatever, like, the whole process of birth.
Oh, my God. Like, mitosis, meiosis.
Yeah.
Which evs. And I know exactly which evs.
I know, too, JK.
But yeah, that's not you. They'll be like, I won, you know what I mean? Like, I beat the others out to the egg. And it's like, no, you're the egg, asshole. Like, you're both.
Oh, you're both. Yeah, yeah.
The egg gets treated like
but it's their
inanimate.
Thing. It's funny because you're like, you have a very, you're like a, like souls just like hose out of your eyes. But then when it comes to like sperm, it's like once it's out of you, you're done. You don't own that. You're an egg.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I exist on many planes.
You do. Where's the Malaysian plane? Where is it?
Where is it? Oh, Jesus.
If you truly exist on many planes.
I think it's a few places at once, probably.
Yeah, I guess.
Different, you know, universes. Well, yeah, I mean, I did watch something on the Bermuda Triangle recently on Netflix.
I watched that too in the beginning. I watch like the first 10 minutes of a documentary and then I'll know enough to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty good, actually.
I watched the whole thing,
and I felt like they really got into it in the end. So you might want to, you know, return.
But because part of me now is just thinking like, well, everything just crashes. Like if you didn't find something, you lost it. It's
right.
Lost. It's gone. And when you lose something and you never know the explanation of how, then you start being like, well, it vanished.
I know.
Pragmatic, immigrant brain. Open-minded woman who married a San Francisco soul, so sell me on something different.
Yeah, sell you. I mean, it is terrifying that our Earth is freaking covered with ocean. Like,
yes.
Like, it's mostly ocean. Ocean is fucking terrifying.
The way you said it, too, I am quivering.
Like, the ocean is truly terrifying, and we can't survive in it. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you slip in
there. Floating islands. Oh, we can't walk around on the bottom of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like...
Because if you walk on the bottom of it, also your head explodes. So even if you could breathe. Right?
Yeah. I think if you slowly descend...
It's fine.
You just... Because it's like being up in a plane or whatever. I think the pressure, you have to like adjust. But yeah, if you just like got down there and you can't go up too fast either. It's like terrifying. It's really deep. Like I know that sounds stupid, but like
it's
you
like
think it's deep.
Deep.
You think it's like deep and you're like,
but no, it's like
and you're
miles
like, yeah,
and miles.
It's like, you know, yeah, it's like miles and miles. It's really hard to imagine. Like they did this thing where in that documentary where they showed like a million like Eiffel Towers stacked on top of each other, showing like the depth of certain spots. Cause I just sort of think of it as, I don't know. It's hard. It's really hard to realize just how deep it is.
How deep it is. But
it's creepy.
Are there scientists on the documentary being like, it's possible that with the depth of the ocean and like gravity and everything, that there's an area that pulls into the ocean?
Yeah. Like one thing they showed with the area of the Bermuda Triangle is that there's kind of like this like cliff and then this kind of like... dug out like track, let's say, like in the floor of the ocean around there, and then water gets like sucked into it, so it's almost like a river inside the ocean, deep inside the ocean.
Gotcha.
So things get pulled in Okay. And then, or they sink, and then they get carried so far from where they sunk that people don't find it. And, you know, they're searching the area. So that's creepy.
That's real creepy.
And then there one guy, and this is towards the end of the documentary, he went into some kind of time warp vortex, okay, where he traveled like a bunch of miles in time he shouldn't have, and his compass was spinning, and it was a real freak show.
You are a terrifyingly amazing human species specimen.
I mean,
he lived it, though.
This guy lived it. This guy lived through it, and it's like, it's pretty incredible.
Would you go there?
His plane.
Would you go to there?
No.
A web series?
Yes.
For your own web series, would you go to the Bermuda Triangle?
I'm not sure I would want to necessarily. I'm not crazy about
dying like, some
flying,
weird
dying.
Mystery death. Flying
yeah,
and dying.
Flying and dying. I mean, I have a lot of scary dreams about planes, like a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm scared, you know. I kind of wish we didn't fly.
But you're okay with driving?
Yeah, because I'm not as horrified. I mean, I am horrified by driving, like, car accidents. I find them really, like, disturbing.
Yeah.
In a different kind of way.
Yeah.
But I feel like a car accident would happen quick in a way. I'd be fine with a plane just exploding. I mean, pure, true explosion.
Yes.
The only thing I'm afraid of with a plane
the
crash.
The turbulence and the.
The fear, the knowing it's happening.
But once it falls, it probably falls pretty quick. As someone who's been through many plane crashes.
I don't think it falls that quick.
You know what I practice, too, when there's turbulence? I'm like, I'm going to be the person who's real chill about everything.
Right.
Because it's contagious. Like, once one lady with a Bible starts, you know, fucking...
Oh, my God, praying out loud.
Praying out loud and doing that shit, then it's, like, then it's contagious. It's like being at a showcase, and if one comic's, like, nervous, you're like,
yeah.
Just stay away from me. I just need to breathe. Right?
Definitely. I mean, I just... Yeah, like, I don't like the stomach drop feeling.
I know you just said you don't like the stomach drop feeling, but I just remembered that I've got something to confront you about.
Oh, my God.
There's a website
mm-hmm.
online. Is your stomach dropping?
Yes.
There's a fucking website. I was searching your name.
Yeah.
And I came across this blurb. Love is in the air for Breaking Bad star Aaron Paul and
oh
comedian
my God.
Jacqueline Novak. The new couple was spotted canoodling together at the Oakley Learn to Ride with the Audi Sports Car Experience event in Sonoma, California on May 20th. Aaron and Jacqueline originally met at the Coachella Music and Arts Festival, and then that's when I started. First, I was like, oh, this is a joke, and then the coach, I was like, oh, yeah, they totally could have
oh
met there.
Oh, my God. Aaron
what
Paul?
What is the deal
First
with that?
All, when is that dated? Like a few years
2009,
ago?
2009, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I know, right?
Is this real?
Not me. It's not me. There's a model named Jacqueline Novak. Okay?
Oh, fuck that bitch.
I know. And I actually met someone the other night who also knew her, who had dated her also. But yes, yeah, so she's kind of this, like, I feel bad for her because, you know, she's like this model.
Because you're
and
taking
then someone,
the name to town.
I'm taking it to town. And then somebody... Okay, like, I discovered that because I saw that someone had gotten to my website by searching Aaron Paul and Jacqueline Novak, and I was like, what the hell? So I searched it, and then that
you're
came
like, are
up.
We dating?
Yeah, yeah.
In a parallel universe. Am I, like, sleepwalk dating Aaron
yes.
Paul?
I've
by the way, Aaron Paul is
space.
From Breaking Bad, Sally.
Yes. Yes, yeah.
Sally hasn't. We laugh because Sally's never seen TV.
Yeah, it's fun to, like, pretend to educate her, but she can't do anything with it. She has no hooks for the information in her brain, you know what I mean? Because she doesn't
have anything sharp.
The hooks are in her skin.
Not her brain.
The hooks are in her neck, you know?
Sally. Life just gets better and better for the real / fictional / real life character of Sally. Kidnapped from Christian school at 13. Professional podcast.
Inspiring podcasters. Stand up New York Labs. Oh, well, you know,
just,
we're not afraid to mention
her. We feed her a teaspoon of whey protein every episode.
Keeps her going. She doesn't need a lot of energy just to stay in the hooks.
But
you
guys,
know?
Wait. Okay, I feel like TV's making me more psychotic. Like, is it, like, this whole thing that I'm doing, I can go so far with it because I watch The Following. Do you think TV's making us cray-cray?
Oh, I mean, I've always been, you know, my best friend growing up, her dad is this expert in serial killers.
Oh, and like, shit. So you are literally the most terrifying person that I love.
And so she used to read me books because he would spend like 6 years researching one serial killer, and then he would write a book on it. So, and his study was just filled with like, you know, all intense books about all this stuff. And my friend would just read me.
What a world to be immersed in.
I mean, it was pretty fabulous. Like, so she'd be on the phone with me.
It's like, it being, was like, amazing.
Telling me about like Albert Fish and reading
Who's Albert
me.
Fish?
He's like one of the worst serial killers.
Oh no, he did rapey, cutty, pee, pee everywhere.
Yeah, of small boys. And he actually suffered from all the, he had every perversion known to man. He had. So like, and some that hadn't yet been documented. Like he used to like stick like long stemmed roses into his penis.
No, into his own. Well, that's kind of funny.
And then slowly remove them.
Oh
like,
my God, I want it.
And then eat the petals. Okay. Like
what?
Just, and then eat the petals.
Wait, who watched him do that?
I don't know. But
he would
trust
he had
me,
a journal.
Okay.
He did all this Tumblr.
Shit. He's like insert needles into his abdomen in prison and like no one knew and then like no one believed him and then like they saw in the x-ray just like a bunch of needles inside him. He suffered like every perversion known to man.
He
I just
like a
love
real cool guy.
I mean that's pretty special. I was thinking about it recently. If you were the person like who, you know, enjoyed, maybe not suffered, but enjoyed. Yeah. You didn't, you know, enjoyed depression.
Oh, God.
He struggled with whatever.
So your best friend's dad growing
up.
Writes books about serial killers. But do you think that he would say, or do you say, I'll take your word. Well, I'll bargain down to your word.
Great.
That TV, because the people were on the video game thing. I feel like TV is like sort of, like these shows are really killy.
Yeah. Well, he actually, you know, He,
I mean, I don't want them to stop. I'm
no,
just saying,
right.
Do you think there's going to be like a new generation of killers that are inspired by?
He would argue that no.
Thank you. You upgraded me to his word.
Wait, what did I upgrade
No, because first I was like, what would he say? Then I was like, I'll settle for what you say.
Yes.
And then you were like, well, he
I'm
would say. And I'm like, we're back in the money.
Yeah. I'm more comfortable with what he would say because I do. Because he actually like came to... I think he spoke at the high school or something around the time of Columbine because there was this discussion. There was this like discussion about, you know, the violence in video games and movies and all this stuff. And is this what's contributing? Like people were like a lot of people were making that point.
Yes.
And he also is a professor of pop culture. His name's Harold Schechter, by the way. He's a number of books.
Shout out to Harold.
New book coming out soon. You know, check it out. But so he argues, you know, overall, you know, this is the safest time to live that's ever been. Okay. You know, there's always been violent, like extreme violence, in, you know, starting with Grimm's fairy tales, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which were way more violent than it's the vanilla version. It's just a new.
I prefer to call it strawberry vanilla squirrel.
Sally liked that one, I guess.
Sally did.
I saw a little drool come out of the side of her mouth. But yeah, I think, I mean, he kind of, like, usually my discussions with Harold, he is always kind of, he's kind of like a Jungian guy with, like, a belief in, like, the shadow and that, you know, when you repress the shadow self, that's when you have problems, you know, but when you...
Yes.
Let it out and celebrate it and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
That you know, that's when you, that's when you know that. Like his, he has this one of his closest friends, this guy Joe Coleman, who does this.
That's a
artwork.
Great theory to spread.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I believe that fully. Like, but like his friend is this guy who does this crazy serial killer artwork, like amazing, detailed, intricate sort of portraits of serial killers, with like all like, it's and. You know, I think, like, I remember Harold being like, if he didn't do that, he would be a serial killer. But instead, he's a brilliant artist.
And what's that man's full name and address?
I think it's Joe Coleman.
Joe Coleman, the serial killer. Shout out, bro. And then I'm murdered tomorrow. That was dangerous. I play with fire.
I mean, yeah, he's like, well, he's, I mean, Harold was just joking.
So,
I think. But
all this to say, you are not dating Aaron Paul.
Oh yeah.
Or
so
you never
I'm
did
not,
date Aaron Paul.
And I feel like maybe that model, you know, is like, because if somebody saw that and then they go, oh, I didn't know she was a comedian. And then they looked her up and they found like all these like gross jokes and like whatever. Maybe she felt embarrassed, you know, because she's like trying to present herself as this model and then I'm sullying her name. But in fact,
whatever.
I'm going to triumph.
Yeah. Going to, you have. You are.
I guess.
You know, my first audition in New York City, I had a little model issue as well. It was my commercial agents, Innovative Artists, mm-hmm. and got the email in my inbox, and the breakdown was like, legs of a Venus model, beautiful long hair, beautiful long hair must be past the shoulders, sexy physique. And I was like, va-va-voom, Innovative, you love me.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Let's fucking do this. And it was like, they were describing this femmy girl, so then I was suppressing the shadow. And wearing all of my girlfriend's clothes. And
oh, my God.
And I remember, like, catching
shadow.
catching my reflection in, like, a window.
On the way.
And just being like, you are literally a drag queen. Like,
oh.
You, like, I felt not like myself. I should never have done
That's
that.
So
right?
Funny.
No,
you
of course.
You felt like a drag queen.
I was a drag
you
queen.
Were a drag
I was
queen.
A drag queen. I was
no,
in
yeah.
drag. That's drag for me.
No, fully. I understand. I mean,
yeah.
I understand that feeling. I really
like, that's
do.
Why when,
yeah.
like, lesbians do drag king, it doesn't make sense. Because it's like, no, that's just what you
yes.
always wear. But you put a tie on and then you put a fake
yeah.
mustache on. Anyway, so I get to, you know, Midtown to this casting agent's office,
God.
And I'm, like, sweating, and I feel uncomfortable, and the clothes are tight. I think I'm wearing, like, some kind of, like, wedgie type. I don't know what I was doing. I
wedgie
was
type,
in
what, like,
big,
Spanx or something?
I was in big identity
thong
style
Spanx.
Problems. Oh, I don't know. Everything bad. And then I get to the office, and the lady, I get to the room. I write my name down and I walk in, and then the lady's like,
oh no.
Who are you?
Oh, Jesus.
And I go,
I'm Venus.
I'm here for the audition. She goes, no, the first thing she said was, what are you doing here? And I go, I'm here for the audition. Who are you? I'm Sabrina Jalise. No, you're not.
Oh my God. Wait, excuse me?
Excuse me? Well, not right now. No, I'm not at all. I would not
no,
recognize
not.
Me either.
No, you're not.
And I was like, you have no idea how deep that is. I'm not.
Yes.
But then I was like, no, I am. And I was so embarrassed. And I was like, let me just leave. I'm just going to leave. I was so, like, you know when you just feel embarrassing
oh
hot everywhere on
yes.
your body? I had embarrassed heat. And then she's like, who sent you? And I was like, Innovative. But, like, forget it. Like, I don't want to cause trouble
yes.
with this new agency. I'm clearly not who anyone thinks I am.
Was she just someone at the front desk, or were you actually
no,
sent
she
in?
Was the casting agent.
You went
agent.
Into the room.
I went into the room
no.
as Sabrina Jalise, and I was not Sabrina Jalise. And it turns out they have a model called Sabrina Jales.
No.
And that's who was supposed to be there. And she goes, and I go, it's not a problem. Don't worry. And she's like, where'd you come from? And I was like, Bushwick. You came all the way from Brooklyn. No, hold on. You stay right here. You stay right here. I'm
oh
calling them right
God.
Now. And I'm like, no, please don't. Please don't.
Oh,
please.
My God.
And she calls. And she's like, yeah, there's a problem. I asked you for Sabrina Jales, the model from Brazil, and you sent me Sabrina Jalise, the stand-up comic from Bushwick.
It's too good. It's amazing.
It's
so
it was
funny.
Such
did they
a
feel
long
for you?
Subway ride home. No, she just like did
so
that.
You didn't get into. By the way,
nobody.
This isn't how
it
I
was
dress.
Just like the most embarrassing thing that nobody talked
because
about
you,
after.
You literally also were like you.
I was trying.
You were trying to be the model.
Yeah, and then
without
it was
realizing
just,
it.
The other thing was it was embarrassing for me because they know that I read the breakdown, which was like legs of a Venus model. P.S. My legs are like this is the thing about me. My legs are like only 1 foot long. They're so short.
That's the thing about
they're
you.
Like that's the thing. No, but like if you measure the dimensions of my
yes.
body, remember on the Rosie O'Donnell show, she used to be like, "Break out the short leg stool." That's me.
Oh my God!
I need the short leg stool when I sit
that's
on it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it was embarrassing because I read that and was like, and I literally did like kind of tilt my head when it because my hair wasn't
yes.
really past my shoulders.
Get it past your shoulders.
I just sort of like.
It's
tilted
so
the
sweet.
Head and was
were
like,
there
yeah.
like models in the
there was no
room?
One there no
okay.
that's good Because that would have been fucked up if there was just like so many models and I just like confidently marched in.
Because sometimes it's like, it is like, feels like that. Because there's, and you know, I don't go in a lot of auditions, but like when I do, it's like, it's a very weird vibe in the waiting room.
Oh yeah, and then everybody's like, oh my God, Jacqueline, how are you?
Oh my God.
And you're like, guys, stop it. Just stop it.
I also don't like when you can hear inside the room.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Like you hear people like, it, particularly if it's like they had to improvise something funny.
Oh my
and
God.
You hear them like screaming in the next room.
Yes.
And you're like, wow, she's really screaming.
She's really like, giving it.
Should I scream?
And you're like, I just woke up half an hour ago. The makeup was my scream.
You know, I was thinking a way to maybe impress with my acting skills, okay? Would be walk in like I'm someone else, okay? Like walk in
I think some people do
hey,
that.
Hello. Okay. And be like, okay.
Okay. And be it's like, gotta be that character.
And be like something as far away from it as okay, like wait, hold on. Like
so she's walk getting in and into go character.
Like, hello, okay, or whatever. I'm like, I'm here for the audition. Okay. And I'm like, hi. And I'm like, just saying here. And then I'm like, what's the part? Like a hipster in Brooklyn? Okay. And I'm like, or like, just like, what's the part? Like a regular average girl? All right, give me a minute. And then I'm like, all right now. And then I'm like, and I pick up the script or whatever. I'm like, all right. Okay, am I ready? You mind if I start now?
You're like a 90-year-old lady from the south.
You mind if I start now? And then I'm like, you mind? Okay, hey Tony, what's up? It's Jack, you know, it's Susie, whatever. And like I do it and they think I'm a fucking genius actor because I'm able to transform like that from my Southern truth.
I love it, but you're not just Southern. You're like literally like an oldest lady.
Hello. You mind if I put my glasses on just to read the copy at first? I'll take them off when I get into character. Because I can't do it the other way. I can't transform, I don't think, impressively from my natural self.
You could probably, that's probably a joke, right?
I don't know. Is it?
Do you mind if I do it?
It's just so
vague on these podcasts. Like, who came up with what,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's
I'll give you the strawberry report. Swirl.
And thank
give me,
you.
Just give me hello.
Oh, you did. You no, did embody it well.
I think you could do that joke. You're welcome.
Thank
for
you.
For giving you the confidence.
I'll try. You know, I don't want to be too inside.
Yeah,
you know,
guess.
Look at me going to auditions.
Yeah, but I feel like anyone can relate to, like, a job interview type scenario. All of my material is about auditions these days. People are loving it.
Oh, they love to get a little taste of the bits.
They taste of the... Oops, the Sally's little... drooling again.
Well, when you say words like taste around Sally, the salivary glands.
She's so greedy for those whey protein scoops. The salivary glands.
I feel like, I'm sorry, I don't know if this is just me, okay, or the listeners can, you know,
I already feel like you're
alone
on an island.
But I'm sorry, but am I the new co-host of the podcast? I'm sorry, I mean, I just had to say it, because frankly,
honey,
this is going so naturally.
Isn't it going so well? We have covered so many topics.
I always ask that at the end, not saying it's the end.
Oh, you're such a bitch, fuck you.
No, actually, I never have. I've never felt this good.
No way.
Honestly? We have a connection.
We do have a connection. We're going to hang out after too, right?
Well, I was going to
like,
tell
no,
you.
Not without the microphones.
I know we were going to, and it's a matter of whether or not I was supposed to clean my apartment in advance of this thing.
People are you having a function?
Not exactly. A meeting of
sorts.
So
not only are we not hanging
you're not
out,
invited.
I'm not invited to the function.
Actually, you are more than welcome to come to the function because you could be useful.
Can I just spend a few days with you and just learn about soul swapping?
You know, the thing when you do with Sabrina's podcast is kind of a pain. It's fun. You think she's cool, but then it's like you literally have to hang out for 3 days every time. Once you get in there, she won't let you back out.
I did just do a horrifying hangout thing with, you know, Shang Wang?
I love him.
We had lunch, and then I was like, can I go back to your apartment
and
nap?
Oh, my God.
And I did.
That's amazing.
I napped for an hour.
I really like him.
And then he kept on saying, he was like, Sabrina.
No.
Sabrina. And I pretended I couldn't hear it for the first two. And then he would leave, like, a couple minutes between the Sabrinas. And I was like, I'm the worst right now. Like, I like peaked gently, with my one crazy hose eye. And I saw that he was like getting ready to go to the gym. And I was like, I can't relate to that.
Oh my God.
Right now. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to call my parents. This is what we do at the end of the podcast.
Oh my God.
And then my dad's sick right now, so we're probably not going to talk to him, but I think we can get a hold of my mother.
This is brilliant. You
calm
didn't tell
down.
Me.
Sally's getting wet.
Right before calling your parents, you said that.
Yeah, I know. My mom, and then so
this
podcast is about to be released. Oh, it's really exciting. The team behind this podcast, the gang, the production.
The new co-host.
It's all, we have been just rustling like leaves all over the wind, all over the wallpaper. And it's dense and dark and dank. Well, that was that part. But what I'm saying is when my mom listens to the episodes, I'm worried that she will say, what have you roped my voice into?
Oh my God. What have you
put my beautiful strawberry voice into this vanilla sperm swirl? Her voice is period. Okay.
Definitely.
All right. My mom's voice is a period.
Her voice is one child a month.
Yes. One child a month.
Her voice is a string of children.
That's why I have so much sibling rivalry because of that cool quip. All right. I'm going to let the audience breathe after the cool quip. And here we go. We're going to call my mom. Yeah, so every episode I'm basically just asking her how to be happy. Because generally, like, in the podcast, we talk about, like, depressing things because life is depressing.
Yeah.
And then I call my mom, and she's like an efficient Swiss lady. Hey, Mommy. How are you?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I've got you on speakerphone against the microphone. My friend Jacqueline's here, too.
Hey.
Okay. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, that was a little sassy.
I love Sabrina. She's very special.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Okay.
She says you made a very special strawberry vanilla swirl. Mom, today we were talking about serial killers. And we were talking about going missing. So we want a lift. So once again, I'm coming to you. Mom?
Yeah?
Do you love me?
Say again.
Again.
Serial killers and what else?
Missing planes. Do you know where it is?
Missing what?
The missing plane. Do you know there's a plane missing?
I don't know what you mean. Missing what points?
Mommy, we've lost our chemistry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you better now.
Okay.
It's kind of breaking up.
So basically what we want from you is some uplifting news or some uplifting, like some tips on how to be happy. I've asked you to do this before, but I know you've got a new list and I'd like you to enlighten us.
Yeah, it's a list, of course, for my friend Dr. Oz.
My mom is very close friends with Dr. Oz.
Wait, with who?
Dr. Oz.
Anyways, the five tips are, the first tip is to stay off social media for at least one day per week. Because he's saying that most people are only putting happy and great things about themselves on social media. So you compare yourself to that and you kind of feel down because, you know, everybody else is having fun and is not having any problems. Nobody's
this is true.
Put their problems on there, right?
Yeah.
So he said the best thing would be at least for one day to disconnect from all of that, you know, and try to find, you know, your own, you know, happiness, because measuring yourself against others, you know, can be very bad for you. That's number one. Number two, don't talk negatively about others, because negativity creates a toxic environment and it can affect your mood. And that's, you know, true.
I feel like the first one you were freestyling and the second one you started reading. Not to talk negatively.
I'm writing them all down because I don't want to forget about it.
Okay.
Know, right?
And do you think that
I've got my notes.
Do you think I have a problem with that one?
I remember, talking negatively about other people, it creates negativity. It creates like a toxic environment.
But when you hang out with your friends.
It's a cycle.
But Mom, when you hang out with your friends, don't you talk a little bit of shit?
Yeah, a little bit is okay, but don't get hung up on something, you know. Don't get carried away.
So maybe put like an egg timer and then just, you know, beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, maybe.
Verbally. And then once it dings, so then we're done.
Okay, number three, I've already talked to you once about, is to give gratitude.
Mm.
And what he was saying on a previous show, or somebody who was a guest, was saying that the young people of today are just, you know, expecting everything to be done for them, and they're not grateful for anything. You know.
Whatever, Mom, hurry up.
Kind of part of entitlement, right?
Yeah.
And he's actually saying it's scientifically proven that expressing gratitude it makes your happiness go up by 25%.
I found that to be true.
You know, if you're grateful,
yeah, it's true.
It makes you just overall happy, right?
Yeah.
And he has a very good tip, which, you know, I think people who feel down once in a while could use. He said, send yourself an email for one thing you are grateful for each day. Save them in a folder, and like any day that you feel down, go back and read these emails. I think that's a very good point.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of the Facebook thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And then number four, which I think is very important, especially for, you know, a lot of the mothers, is make time for yourself by saying no. You know, don't try to be everything to everybody. You know,
mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, you don't have time for yourself. And when you are unhappy yourself, you can't really, you know, help other people to become happy. It's almost like when they tell you in the plane, you know, if you need the oxygen tank, put it on yourself first before you put it on your child, right? You have to look after
yourself. Mom, you're killing this. You're great.
You're no use.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just came up myself with that, okay?
You did? No, you just came up with that?
Yeah.
Mom!
I was about to chime in and say that, too.
I'm going
to
get you a development deal, Mom.
Okay. The last thing is to say sorry. And, you know, he's saying sorry is very difficult to do, especially if you feel that you're not in the wrong. But holding grudges against people can completely drain your energy.
Absolutely.
And he's saying start by apologizing today. It's never too late to repair a friendship. You know.
And well, then where's my apology, Mom? You've been making all this time for yourself.
Yeah, sure. You owe me an apology, Bina.
For what?
Well, I don't know. I'll find something.
Wrote me an email. Like, at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, being like, I have lost one towel and I'm not sure where it is. It's a yellow towel. I know that you come to the house and sometimes you use towels and maybe you leave them somewhere, but I've lost it and let me know. And then she found that my dad was like, I was using it. My dad was using it.
Well, you have a reputation. Let me put it this way, okay?
Of stealing towels?
A reputation, for instance, if you arrive without the hairbrush, and my hairbrush seems to be just in the right place, you have no problems using it and maybe even taking it along.
No way. That may have happened once, probably because I buy you a way better hairbrush. It's in the mail. You didn't get it from Amazon? It was a hairbrush and a hair dryer.
Never bought me a hairbrush, Dina. Never.
Awkward.
Okay?
Never.
Let's leave it at that, okay?
All right. Well, I'm grateful for your parenting. And I love you, and I am sorry.
Send yourself an email today, okay?
Are you doing it?
About that. You can CC me on it.
All right, Mommy. Are you doing this email thing? Are you doing the email thing?
No, I'm not really. I'm not doing it, but, you know, I mean, I'm usually feel okay, but I think for people who, you know, have down days.
You don't have down days?
I think actually, sometimes, but.
You know what? Actually, Jacqueline is writing.
I'm kind of floating in the middle. I'm not totally up and not totally down, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're probably more up and down than me, but I think somebody like you and your profession, where you do have, you know, days where things are just not working out for you, I think it would be very great, you know, very helpful, because you do have great things happening to yourself. But then when you have a down day, you might forget about these, you know, these great things.
I really agree.
It might not be a bad thing for you.
I really agree.
Yeah?
All right. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with you exposing the fact that I've written 9 suicide notes in the month of April. But
Okay, please.
Is it 8? Hold on. My headphones came off. Mommy, thank you so much.
And one of them was April's.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
I love you. And also, just so you know, Jacqueline's writing a book about depression.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Thanks, Mom.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
She's like, okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone you know is writing a book and depression exists. Anyways, back to my streamlined mood.
Her neutral mood.
Yeah, her Swiss neutral mood. Okay, guys, let's all hold hands except for Sally. Hold my hand.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
And every podcast starting today, we hold hands at the end. Mm-hmm. We look into each other's eye. One eye open, one eye covered, and we say, I am grateful together.
I am grateful for this friendship.
I will let you nap on my couch every day slash never leave. You are my destiny. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And as I walked into the room, the leaves were rustling, and the wallpaper was dense, like dank density, pinching off into my mind.